Thank you so much, and what a generous introduction. Thank you, Martin, that's brilliant. And can I also say that the person who made the videos happen with subtitles was one of your own. It was Tim Koish. So there you go. So thank you for your both, you know, as a physical son and a spiritual son, for your investment in Tim. It's a real joy to work with him. I'm sure you saw his little cameo in the video. It's so good to be with you for so many reasons. First of all, isn't it just great to be together, to be good news people in a bad news world? I don't know about anybody else, but my news feed at the moment is just about the worst it's ever been during my lifetime. And yet together we're good news people, aren't we? That was why it was so profound, actually, what you did at the beginning of the service, to celebrate. Goodness me, we need to celebrate what's happening in our world, what's the good stuff that's happening in our world at the moment, because there's so much bad news around. Also, it's so good to be with you, because very rarely in that good news section is there any mention of Aston Villa. And Rog, I was there. It was amazing. So there you go. Great to celebrate, and very rare to have a fellow Villa brother within the crowd. So thank you. Before we dive into God's word, I wonder whether I might infuse you with something I'm really passionate about and invite you to do something really important. And that is, if you're not yet a personal member of the Evangelical Alliance, I want to invite you to become one. Let me tell you why that matters and what you can do about it. Well, first of all, loads of people ask me, what's an evangelical? Well, an evangelical is a good news person in a bad news world. Evangelical comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. What else? Well, we evangelicals, we're people of the Bible. We don't change the word of God to accommodate our culture. We want to see our culture transformed with the word of God. Secondly, we're people of Jesus. We believe that his life and his death and his resurrection was the most important moment in the whole of human history. That he's our God, but he could also be our friend. Thirdly, we're people of conversion. We believe that the most important decision anyone can ever make is to choose to follow Jesus or not. So we want to see every single person in the UK have the opportunity to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. And fourthly, we evangelicals are people of activism. Do you know, it was evangelicals who are at the forefront of the abolition of the slave trade. More recently, that's looked like Christians Against Poverty, food banks, street pastors, whatever we can do to see light come into the darkness in our world. And who we are as the EA, we're an alliance of evangelicals. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that the church might be one so that the world would know. And so what we do as the EA is we unite evangelicals from across every denomination, background, story. There's a kind of almost a kind of something as well about we're a stream of streams. We're an acknowledgement that not one stream of the church can do it together. But together, when we unite, we might see the UK one for Jesus. And so we're an alliance of evangelicals. And we've existed since 1846 to do two really simple things. First of all, we want to unite the church to see the lost reached by the power of the gospel. So we equip and we inspire the church to make that happen. My job with the friendship stuff and my job is I study the pathways by which people come to faith. So we might take a bird's eye view of what's happening across the UK. So we might be strategic and effective in how we share our faith with those around us. But also, we speak up at the highest levels of government on issues that really matter to Christians. Why? Because if we don't, first of all, who will? Secondly, because the UK church is doing an astonishing job to be a blessing in communities all over the place, and the government needs to know that story. But thirdly, because there's increasingly contentious issues on which we need to speak out on. Issues like free speech. Why free speech? Because it shouldn't be a hate crime to declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One interesting example of that, there was a bill going through Parliament a few years ago that would have enabled Ofsted to come into every Sunday school and youth group in the country and essentially vet what was being said. We thought that sounded more like North Korea or Saudi Arabia, government controlling private religion. So we spoke up. And I'm delighted to say that as a result of the strength of our membership, that bill has been kicked into touch for the time being. Isn't that good news? But here's where we need your help. We speak up and we have the opportunity in the corridors of power like never before. Just before Christmas, my CEO was sat around the cabinet table with Keir Starmer, telling him what an amazing job churches like yours were doing to bless their community. But the reason we get into those tables is because of the size of our membership. We're a membership organisation. When the government asks us how many members we have, we need to give a number. We are 600 organisations, about 3,000 churches, and over 25,000 individuals. The really good news is that this time last year, we were about 20,000 individuals. So personal membership is on a massive increase at the moment, partly because Tim Koish oversees the membership team. He's done a great job. But I want to humbly ask you this morning, if you're able to join us and add your voice to the thousands of evangelicals across the UK, to help us speak up on behalf of the whole Church of Christians, would you be able to do so? Would you help us speak on behalf of all of us to make a difference in the corridors of power? And would you help us reach more people for Jesus? If you're able to do so, at the end of the service, I've got a little table at the back. I'll give you a little form like this. You can fill in a few details. And it costs just £3 a month to join the Evangelical Alliance. If you're part of a couple, please tick the box that says join as a couple. We get to speak off on behalf of both of you. It counts as two. It's still only £3 a month. And if your spouse isn't here, tick the box anyway and tell them later. Fill in a few details. And just as a thank you, just as a way of just saying the least we can do to say thank you for joining us today. If you join us today, we'd love to give you a little box. And in the box is a few things. It's just to say thanks. First of all, there's a copy of the book that Martin kindly read and waved around at the beginning. We'd love to give you that for free about friendship. I'm about to talk on friendship. We'd love to give you that. Second thing we'd love to give you is this. It's called Speak Up. We developed this in conjunction with the Lawyers Christian Fellowship. It tells you your rights and responsibilities when talking about Jesus at work and in the community. Do you know, we have more rights to share Jesus in this country than almost any other nation on earth. But if we don't use them, we'll lose them. And so this tells you your rights. Do you know, loads of people say you can't share your faith at work. You can. You just can't abuse a position of authority over an employee. Loads of people say you can't wear a cross at work. You can. You just can't wear a life-size one because it's a health and safety hazard. So I'd love to share that. And finally, for some of you, this might swing the deal. And if it doesn't, we're frankly out of ideas. If you join us this morning, in the box is an Evangelical Alliance keyring. I know. It's got on the end of it one of those detachable pound coins. Which means that next time you go to a supermarket and you need a pound coin for your trolley, in an increasingly cashless society, you will thank Jesus the day you joined the Evangelical Alliance. So please do join us for all those reasons. Come and see me at the end. But before we dive into God's word, why don't we pray and ask that the Lord might speak to us this morning. Father, thank you that you are on the move in this nation. Thank you for those who speak up for the church, in government and beyond. Father, today, by the power of your word, would you please speak to us and encourage us, challenge us, provoke us, and inspire us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I live in Birmingham. Can everybody say Birmingham? Thank you so much. I'm not far from home, but, you know, feel a little bit closer up the M5 as a result. Well, thank you. But our office as the EA is in London. And so I frequently get the train down from Birmingham New Street down to London Euston on a Tuesday morning and do 2 days a week kind of in the office. And because I'm quite cheap, I refuse to pay for a hotel. So what I do is I've got a number of friends in London who I stay over with on the Tuesday night and then come back on the Wednesday having done my kind of 2 days in the office. And I've got a kind of number of friends and I rotate them so I don't outstay my welcome anywhere. And a few months ago, I was staying with a friend and it's one of those relationships, I don't know whether you have these, where I know him far better than I know her. I was at university with this friend and I'd only met his wife a couple of times. And so with her, I'm in that really awkward relational no man's land, I don't know whether you know this, where you're somewhere between a handshake and a hug. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a really awkward stage, isn't it, in a relationship? And so as I was staying at their house, I decided it's time, this time of staying, to go from handshake to hug with my friend's wife. So if you will picture the scene with me on this particular Tuesday night, I am sat in the living room watching TV with his kids. He is cooking in the kitchen, making dinner for us all, and she comes down the stairs. And so I decide to leave her in no uncertain terms of this stage in our relationship. And so as she comes towards me, I put my arms out, I embrace her, and I say, thank you so much for letting me stay at your house. It's fair to say that my enthusiasm for this hug was far greater than hers. It was a bit like kind of hugging a lamppost. And then I step back and I realise, I have this horrifying moment where I realise she's looking at me with utter bewilderment. And the blood drains from my face as I realise the woman I've just hugged is not the wife of my friend. It's the friend of the wife of my friend who just happened to be over, I don't know, for a play date or something. And we did this really British thing, right?
where we looked at each other and we said with our eyes, we will never speak of this again. Just because we have proximity doesn't mean we have intimacy. Just because we have 1,000 connections on Facebook doesn't mean we have any friends we can call when the storms hit the shores of our life. Just because we're in the house of the Lord doesn't mean we have a friendship with him. And as Martin shared, over the last few years, I've been compelled and captivated by the God-given gift of friendship. And would love to share with you something that I've learned over the last few years and from God's word where Jesus talks about this amazing God-given gift. So if you've got a Bible, would love you to turn with me to John chapter 15. I'm going to read to us a passage that's meant so much to me, a passage about connection, friendship with God, and friendship with one another. John 15, from verse 5, Jesus says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me and you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." See, we need friends. We've got music and movies on demand. We've got the world in the palm of our hand. We've got fun trips, internships, play scripts and hair snips. Film clips, fish and chips at the touch of our thumbtips. Need to lead or breed or feed your cat? Well, it turns out there's an app for that. But we need friends. We've got computers for a fiver, cars without a driver. We've got louder, further, faster, more, a bigger network than ever before. But we need friends. And friends are amazing. See, friendship is atomic. From the nursing home to the coffee shop, from the boardroom to the playground. It's relational connections that make the world go round. See, we were created to know and be known. It's better to eat kebabs with friends than salad on your own. And yet we trace in populous places. We're strangers in rooms of familiar faces. We crave deeper meaningfuls but experience anonymity. We dance superficially around the promise of proximity. And we need friends. And quantity is no substitute for quality. We need 5G, HD, 24 karat friends. Lifelong, fight strong, tag along, forgive all wrong friends. Friends to talk through our problems personal. Friends to call when the cancer's terminal. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, your year. You just remember what your old pal said. We get by with a little help from our friends. And look to the one who made friendship possible, whose nail-pierced hands bridged a chasm uncrossable. His scandalous invitation follows the most glorious of amends. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. So, celebrate with me the ship most worth sailing and follow the example of the friend unfailing. May we raise our game and drop our cover, invest our energies in one another. May we still be there when the rain starts to fall and accept the most important friend request of all, because we need friends. And this morning, I'd just love to share with you a few lessons that Jesus has to teach us about friendship from this passage from his word. And the first is that I really believe great friendship is sacrificial. You know, just about the most powerful cultural story in our world at the moment is what's called expressive individualism. You might not know it by its name, but I bet you know it by its mantras. You do you. Be your authentic self. Follow your heart. Be true to your own desires. The story of our culture in which we live at the moment, the waters in which we swim, tell us to discover, create, or choose our identity based on what's inside us and then express that in the world around us. Leading sociologist David Foster Wallace to comment, everything in my own immediate experience supports my deep belief that I am the absolute centre of the universe, the realest, most vivid person in existence. We are bombarded from the moment that we wake up in the morning from images and stories that tell us that it's about the individual. And yet Jesus says this is true friendship. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. And as I've looked at the shocking stats around loneliness, as I've looked at the reasons we're so isolated in our world at the moment, I've wondered whether we are so because we have lost the heart and the art of preferring others and their needs above our own. Great friendship, demonstrated by Jesus, not just preached by Jesus, tells us just before going to the cross that great friendship is about laying down our lives for one another. And that might mean all kinds of different things for those of us this morning. For some of us, it might mean dropping everything for those of us in need around us. For some of us, it might mean avoiding the need to be right all the time. For some of us, it might mean spending time with people who are different from us. The person I've seen it most recently worked out in is the life of my mum. I had a terrible pandemic. I don't know if anyone else had a terrible pandemic. But for me, one of the reasons the pandemic was so awful was that my mum, who'd been battling cancer for about 6 months, we found out right at the beginning of lockdown that the cancer was terminal. So I spent the first few weeks of lockdown sat at the end of her driveway, watching her physically deteriorate. But yeah, this was a woman who'd given her life to Jesus as a young girl. And a woman who, in those kind of last few months of her life, it was like she was withdrawing from a spiritual bank account that she'd invested in for her life. And she went to be with Jesus eventually on the 8th of June, 2020. But before she did something I recommend we all do if we know we're going to die soon. And that is, one afternoon, she took her iPad and recorded a message to be played at her funeral. She always wanted the last word, did my mum. And she talks in this video about how her decision to follow Jesus and the fact that she knows her saviour means that she has absolute forgiveness for her past. God's presence in her present agony and the absolute assurance and hope for the future that whatever happens to her physical body, her soul is safe with Christ in God. And we weren't able to have a kind of physical funeral in a building because of the restrictions in place at the time. It was an incredibly painful time. So we had to do the funeral on Zoom. It was an amazing afternoon. Hundreds of screens turned up. And then at the end of the funeral that I was leading, because she wasn't around to stop me, I had the last word. And I gave people the opportunity to respond to my mum's incredible gospel message and offered people the opportunity to pray a prayer to surrender their lives to Jesus. And at the end of the meeting, we clicked leave and left, and I turned my phone on, and there was a message from one of mum's friends who she'd prayed for many years to come to faith for themselves, which simply said, "Phil, I prayed that prayer with you. I believe Jesus died for me." Isn't that amazing? But why does that happen? Because a woman in her last days who has every right to be thinking of herself thinks of others. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. Great friendship is sacrificial. Secondly, great friendship is intentional. There's a couple of mic drop moments in this passage which we don't realise through our 21st century lenses. The first is where Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." And that's not normally the way in which it happens. Normally what happened would disciples would choose rabbis. But Jesus flips the norm. He's intentional. And he chooses a bunch of people to spend his life with, leading some commentators to conclude that Jesus' greatest miracle wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It was having 12 close friends in his 30s. And what Jesus does with these 12 fellas is he spends his life investing in them. But what's really awkward is there's a couple of really quite awkward moments in the Gospels where Jesus says to 9 of his disciples, you wait there. And he says to Peter, James and John, you come with me. Have you ever thought about what it must feel like to be one of the 9? Can you imagine being Philip? Can you imagine being Thomas? Do you know who I feel really sorry for? James the Lesser. Can you imagine? James, you come with me. James the Lesser, you stay there. Or even worse, Peter. Because James and John are brothers. They get to go with Jesus. To like the Transfiguration and Gethsemane. Do you know, in quite big moments in Jesus' life. And Peter is... And so I feel really sorry for Andrew, because Peter goes with Jesus, but Andrew is Peter's brother. And so when James and John go, and then Peter goes, Andrew must have been stood there thinking, this is my moment. It never comes. But you know what's even worse? It was Andrew who introduced Peter to Jesus. I feel really sorry for Andrew. But you know what we find, actually, with Jesus' friendships? He's really intentional. He realises that he has limited relational bandwidth. And what's been fascinating as I've researched friendship is that the leading anthropologists have realised a similar pattern. Because they've asked, how many good friends can we have? Can we actually meaningfully have? And how many great friends can we have? And the leading anthropologists reckon that we can have about 12 good friends and about 3 great friends. These guys aren't Christians, but I'm like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, that sounds really familiar. It's almost like Jesus had help. And yet, I think one thing that I've been challenged to learn is, how intentional am I about my friendships? And I want to encourage you to think this morning about how intentional you are about those you invest your relational energy with. Because we cannot be great friends with everyone. We need some people who we will walk with deeply through the battles and blessings of life. But the other astonishing thing in this intentional moment is Jesus says a shocking statement. He says, I have called you friends. Do you know there's no other record in the whole of the first century of any other rabbi calling their disciples friends? When he said this for the first time to the disciples, then he said, say that again, Jesus. You've called us what? And I think this is really intentional on Jesus' part. Of how we are to view, as his disciples today, our relationship with the living God. The theologian A.W. Tozer says, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And it's no surprise, is it, that when it comes to kind of getting our head around what it means to relate to the living God, the Bible gives us all kinds of lenses and images. That he's our creator and our saviour. He's our redeemer. He's our judge. He's our king. He's our provider. But don't miss this morning. God is also your friend. Isn't that amazing? That the hands that threw stars into space at creation reach down to you in friendship. The greatest news in the universe is that the God of the universe died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago and rose again so that we might know forgiveness for our past, God's presence in our present, and hope for the future, that we might be reconciled to him and be friends with him. And my encouragement to you this morning is, if you don't know that for yourself, then you can. And if you do know that, then make that relationship, that friendship, your life. That's why at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But if you don't, his words are sobering. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you know Jesus as your friend this morning, make that the most important thing. So great friendship is sacrificial. Great friendship is intentional. And finally, great friendship is invitational. As God extends his offer of friendship to us, he also invites us to extend that offer, that invitation, to a world that so desperately needs it. Verse 16 of this passage says that we are appointed to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And we bear fruit for God in lots of different ways. by becoming more like him, by being his hands and feet in the world around us. But we also bear fruit by inviting others to know the friendship of Jesus and to a party that's out of this world. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm a missiologist. I study the pathways by which people come to faith. And do you know that when we ask lots of Christians who've become Christians, often as adults, who the most important person was on that journey? Tragically, for people like Martin and myself, it's not pastors and evangelists. It's friends, neighbours, colleagues, or family members. Which means that if your friends are going to come to know Jesus, you are probably going to be the most significant person for them on that journey. And I think at the moment, as I look at the world and as I talk to people on a weekly basis, I think the world is feeling the weight of the bad news in it. Do you know the Collins Dictionary Words of the Year for 2022 was perma-crisis. It's a nice word, isn't it? It kind of refers to an extended period of instability or insecurity brought on by a series of catastrophic events. Feels like we've lurched from a global pandemic to a cost of living crisis, threat of World War III, ecological and economic meltdown. And yet we are good news people in a bad news world. And I have found that my not yet Christian friends at the moment are those who look to us as Christians for hope. The world so desperately needs hope at the moment. I realised this last year when I got just about the most meaningful conversation I've ever had with one of my friends who's not yet a Christian. And I get this text from him, which says, got any time over weekend? Need a word with the top dog big man if you can help, pal. If your non-Christian friend says that to you, they're asking for prayer, okay? That's the translation. You run that through the kind of Google Translate. That's what they're doing, okay? So as you can see, I'm proper classy. And in the West Midlands, there are a number of the good Wetherspoons. Other pubs are available. So we went for breakfast on Saturday morning at Wetherspoons. And I said to him, John, what's up? He goes, mate, I had a phone call from my brother this week. He texts me to say he's got a suspected brain tumour. He's got 3 kids, one on the way. And he called my friend John to ask him to look after his kids when he died. What did you say? To be honest, I didn't know what to say, and I'm not very pastoral. So I said, well, we should pray, shouldn't we? And he said, what now? Picture the scene. We're in a Wetherspoons, surrounded by badly behaved West Midlanders all swigging beer at 9:30 in the morning. And he goes, what now? I said, yeah. So in his pub on a Saturday morning, we pray that his brother might be healed. And we call out to the top dog big man. And so I check in with him the next week and I say, any news? Not yet. And then on the Tuesday, I get just about the best text I got all the rest of last year. He texts me and just says, no brain tumour. Thanks for your work, pal. Do you know what? John has still not given his life to the top dog big man. But you know, he might be a bit closer. Absolutely. And I also thought it was interesting that he didn't text his atheist friends when he needed a bit of hope. We are those who bear hope to a world that desperately needs it. And I want to encourage us that whatever our relationship is like with those in our lives who don't yet know Jesus, friends, neighbours, colleagues, family members, I want to urge us to maybe crank up our prayers a little bit at the moment. Because I think the world is feeling the weight of the perma-crisis and the hopelessness within it. And we are those who play a part in the lives of our friends. Because this is the age of authenticity. And people want to see the difference that Jesus makes in your life. And we know the Saviour, the friend, who is sacrificial, intentional, and invitational with us. And we are good news people in a bad news world. Let's pray, shall we? Just invite you where you are, first of all, just to reflect on your own friendship with Jesus. And the Lord this morning sees your heart. And I just invite you where you are. Maybe you feel really close to God this morning. Maybe your friendship is amazing. But others of us might feel far from God today. And I just invite you this morning, if you feel far from God, to know that his hand of friendship is outreached towards yours. If you this morning feel far from him, I just invite you to take his hand. That same God offers forgiveness for your past. God's offer a presence with you today and hope for your future. Don't miss this opportunity to grow close to Jesus today, to accept his love. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but you just feel disconnected today from him. Hear his words that if we remain in him and he in us, we can bear much fruit. Secondly, I just wonder whether there are some of us who, when we think about our friendships, we feel distant from people. I just invite you to ask the Spirit of God to bring people to mind who you know you need to be intentional with. Maybe the Lord just wants to resurrect some friendships today. Maybe for some of us, we're thinking when we think about friendship, actually our hearts are full of gratitude. The Lord this morning wants us to reflect and thank him and reflect well on the friends that we have. Finally, I just wonder whether some of us, as I'm talking about being invitational, we have people in our lives who don't yet know the Lord. Maybe the Lord this morning is just calling us to intensify our prayers for them. Breathe hope into our hearts that they might come to know him again. So Spirit of God, we pray in this moment, would you please speak to us? Burn on our hearts that which you're saying to us. Lord, if there's things we need to do as off the back of today in our relationship with you or relationship with others, I pray that you inspire us and remind us to do those things. But Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful and beautiful expression of your church here in Stroud. Thank you for the life here. Thank you for the relationships within this room. And I pray your blessing upon them this morning. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.